speaker, Dr. Upendra Sanju from USDA. He's actually the one who organized this symposium by coordinating with the other communities. So he's going to finish off by talking about the management impacts on greenhouse gas emission.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So everybody talks about greenhouse gas emission. I'm going to talk about this carbon and nitrogen retention, or soil carbon nitrogen in stock in the soil. Okay, so this is the experiment we conducted for 8 years, and then we look at the different management practices with the tillage, crop rotation, and cultural practices on soil carbon and nitrogen. In the northern Great Plains area, you know, we have these no tillage. We increase crop intensity, usually having enhanced those soil carbon and nitrogen stocks, as well as the crop yields, especially in the dryland cropping system. But the long-term effect of the practices such as crop rotation and cultural practices are still lacking. Crop rotation and cultural practices may control, reduce weed and pest infestation, enhance crop yields, and increase the quality and quantity of crop residue returned to the soil, thereby helping to boost soil carbon and nitrogen stocks. So the objective of this study is to quantify the 8-year effects of different tillage, crop rotation, and cultural practices on the crop residue. That's the steam and leaves, or the straw, return to the soil, and the grain yield from 2004 to 2011 under the dryland cropping system in the northern Great Plains or in eastern Montana. And then evaluate their effects on soil total carbon. I'm looking at total carbon, not the organic carbon, because we have lots of inorganic carbon. And then our studies in the past have shown that the management practices also influence the inorganic carbon too. So I have decided to use the total carbon instead of the total organic carbon. So total carbon and total nitrogen at the 0 to 127 depth at the end of the experiment in 2011. And then we relate this soil total carbon, total nitrogen, with crop residue returned to the soil and annualized grain yield. So the treatments for the study consisted of two tillage practices at the main plot. We have got no tillage and the conventional tillage. And then there are 4 crop rotations. We have the continuous spring wheat as the control treatment. Then we have the spring wheat P, spring wheat, barley hay, and P, WBP. That's a 3-year rotation. And the spring wheat, barley hay, corn, and P. So we have got 1-year rotation, 2-year rotation, 3-year rotation, and 4-year rotation. And then this study is the taking a soil sample at the end of 2 complete 4-year rotation. That's the 8-year rotation. The cultural practices has 2 types of cultural practices, traditional and improved. I will discuss about what those cultural practices are in a moment. And these treatments are then crop rotation. By the way, crop rotation, tillage is the main plot, crop rotation is split plot, and the cultural practice is the split plot design. So these are arranged in a randomized complete block with 3 replication. The duration of the study 2004 to 2011. And soil sampling occurred at various depth layers, up to a depth of 0 to 120 centimeters 2011. And the location of the study was in eastern Montana. So the cultural practices then consisted of traditional and improved. And you can see those cultural practices is varied by crops and also the different kinds of practices. For example, for the spring wheat, for the traditional practices, we have the recommended seed rate, broadcast method of nitrogen fertilization rate, recommended rate, nitrogen fertilizer rate is the same, the planting date, early planting date, and the stubble height is about 20 centimeters. When you go to the improved cultural practices, we have the seed rate is higher. You see the from traditional seed rate is higher. The nitrogen fertilization is banded. The planting date is delayed by almost a month. This is done to control the weeds. In order to control the weeds, we want to delay planting. The higher seed rate, and then the stubble height is also increased by about 10 centimeters. And this is because we want to capture the snow. If you raise the stubble height to a larger height, ours is a dry land cropping system, so we want to conserve soil water by capturing more snow. So similar things is happening to other crops for pea, barley, hay, and the corn. And these are some of the practices we use, no tillage, conventional tillage, you know, with soil sampling with a hydraulic probe. And you see those delayed and early planted spring wheat. The delayed planting wheat is still green, where the early planting wheat started to form grains by almost a month difference there. Then there is a pea, and then the barley hay, and the corn. Okay, so some of the results we are talking about is the crop rotation effects on crop residue and the grain yield. You see those annualized crop residue, they varied by crop rotation and year, but the highest rotation is usually for the continuous spring wheat and spring wheat pea. You see those, if you take the mean across the year, so the continuous wheat and the wheat pea tend to have a higher crop residue and also the grain yield. If you see the grain yield here, and this is the crop residue returned to the soil, okay, rather than the other rotations. If you look at the effect of cultural practices on crop residue and grain yield, they varied by cultural practices and by year. But the overall crop residue return are the difference between the cultural practices, but the grain nitrogen, the grain yield, it seems to be slightly higher for the traditional practice. Okay? So, when you look at the soil total carbon by depth, and you see those higher soil again seems to be higher for the CW and WP, especially for 5 to 10 and 10 to 20 centimeter. This is because of the higher amount of crop residue returned to the soil, especially in the surface layer. Okay? As you return more crop residue, you see those CW and WP tend to have a higher total carbon in the surface layer. But if you go down to subsurface layer, there is no significant difference between the depth. But as you go this distribution of soil total carbon by depth, you see those soil total carbon increase. That's because of the inorganic carbon. There are three factors in there. One is the bulk density. The bulk density increases with the depth. The second is the thickness of the soil layer. You see the thickness of the soil layer, 20 to 40, and increases 40 to 60, 60 to 90, 90 to 100. So the thickness of the soil layer increase. And the third is the increase in the carbon, inorganic carbon concentration. So when you also increase with the depth. So when taking all these together, you will see the total carbon increase by depth. But if you take the overall carbon label, soil total carbon to the whole variety, profile of 0 to 120 centimeter, there is no difference among the crop rotation. The interaction between tillage, crop rotation, and cultural practices for the soil total carbon at the depth of 0 to 20 centimeter, you see again, there is clearly wheat pea has a higher total carbon in the conventional tillage, and in the no tillage you have the CW, the continuous spring wheat, has the total carbon. If you look at the 90 to 120 centimeter depth, you see an interaction of three factors. And again, it tends to have higher total carbon with CW with improved practices, CWI. This is this one up in here. In the conventional tillage and in the no tillage, then you have continuous spring wheat in the this over here. So that's the conventional tillage, no CW. Again, we have got this continuous wheat and wheat pea system in both systems. Okay. If you look at the total nitrogen also seems to be similar. There are not much significant difference among the crop rotation in the surface layer, but to a depth of 20 to 40 and 60 to 90, you see those wheat pea rotation tend to have a higher total nitrogen. That's because of the nitrogen contribution from pea residue, legume residue, you put more nitrogen, and then total nitrogen tend to be higher at 20 to 40 and 60 to 90 centimeters. And when you take the overall profile, again the wheat pea, this red bar over here, wheat pea tends to have a higher total nitrogen compared with the other rotation system. This is the interaction between tillage and crop rotation for the soil total nitrogen, and you can see for the conventional tillage there is no difference, but for the no-till system at the 0 to 5 centimeter layer, the wheat pea tend to have the higher total nitrogen. For the 20 to 40 centimeter depth, same thing, wheat pea, both in conventional tillage, no tillage, and then there is also a slight increase in the wheat pea, corn, and pea rotation, wheat pea, barley hay, corn, and pea system. But if you notice this, then the carbon and nitrogen stocks are usually lower in that barley hay. For the barley hay, when you remove the hay, above ground biomass for hay, the total carbon and total nitrogen start to decrease compared to other rotation. Okay, so we do a correlation analysis between soil total carbon and total nitrogen with crop residue returned to the soil and grain yield. And you can see soil total carbon is significantly different at the depth of 0 to 20 centimeter. Both soil total carbon is significant, correlated with crop residue nitrogen and the grain yield at 0 to 20 centimeter. But the soil total nitrogen, there is a significant difference. By the way, we have got a 10% and 5% level, but the soil total nitrogen is more correlated, both at 0 to 10 and 0 to 20 centimeter with both crop residue and grain nitrogen. But if you take the whole profile layer of 0 to 120 centimeter, there is no correlation. So it is the surface layer that's accumulation that's more related with the crop yields. So the conclusion is that the analyzed crop residue and grain yield were usually greater with CW and WP than other crop rotation. As a result, soil total carbon was greater with CW, and soil total nitrogen is greater with WP than other crop rotation, especially in the no-till and traditional cultural practices. Both STC and STN were correlated with the crop residue and the grain yield, and the continuous non-legume monocropping and the legume non-legume crop rotation may help to enhance the dry land soil carbon and nitrogen stocks as well as the crop yields. And removal of crop residue for hay reduced soil carbon and nitrogen stock in wheat, barley, A and P rotation. So that's the end of my talk. If you have any question, I'll be glad to answer your. Yes. Yeah, we got, when you combine with the annualized residue for the two-year rotation, so wheat and pea, that's the annualized. It's a combination of wheat and pea, the mean of wheat and pea residue. And when they're taken together, there's a lot of residue.
It'd be the same as with continuous.
Yeah. Yes, please.
What proportion of total C in the profile was inorganic?
If you go, we don't see the soil organic inorganic carbon to a depth of 30 centimeters. But if you go below the 30 centimeter depth, soil inorganic carbon almost is about 2 to 3%, almost 20 to 30 gram per kilogram. So it increases. So that is almost 80 to 90% of the total carbon, inorganic carbon. Especially below 30 centimeter depth.
Leaching?
I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know, but the slides show that you have the nitrogen, isn't it?
This one? This one?
Yeah.
Leaching? That's total nitrogen. This is total nitrogen.
It seems that in the 40 to 60, 60 to,
yeah, see, when you go to the 60 to 90, there is an increase in depth, thickness of the layer, right? From 20 to 30 centimeter depth.
The
increase in thickness layer, bulk density also increases. And then the inorganic carbon concentration also. There is no inorganic carbon there, sorry. But the thickness of the layer and the bulk density, that's what you see, slightly higher, 60 to 90, 90 to 100. Any more questions? Thank you very much. If not, please enjoy some snacks. Thank you for your participation, and thanks for coming. Thank you.